You know, it's going to be a short one today, and everybody said amen, amen. Woo, yeah, is Behold the Lamb. And this has been on my heart so much, and the man who said that was John the Baptist. And he was a man born to be a witness. From before he ever came into this world, it was what his job was. And in the last several months, we've been looking how God has a calling in every single one of our lives, and we are called to be his witnesses. And we were maybe not born to it. I certainly wasn't. I was born way outside the church. But I became a child of the living God. And it is what I'm born again to do. It's what I live for. And that same John the Baptist came as a wild man in the desert. He was eating locusts and dressed in camel hides, and he screamed that message from the desert, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he called these people to just repent and prepare the way for Jesus. And he was the one that said, behold the Lamb. Father God, as we continue in your word today, oh God, I pray that all of us would behold the Lamb. Oh God, the Lamb of God that took away our sin. That amidst all the chaos and all the pleasures and all the pains and all the different things that strike us this time of the year, may we have our eyes set on you. Jesus, you are worth beholding. Reveal yourself to us today, Lord. Jesus, we love you. Amen. John the Baptist. Crazy man, born to be his witness, voice crying in the wilderness. John chapter 1 speaks that the next day John saw Jesus, verse 29, and coming toward him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I read that again this morning, and I thought, oh, Lord, thank you that you didn't just take away. It's not just past tense, but in this sinner's life, you continue to do that. Your blood continues to cleanse me, and I'm so thankful for that. And John the Baptist came as a witness, and I won't take you to those verses, but please hear this. He just came not to be an expert, but just to be a witness. And I need to tell you that I am so thankful. There was so many years in my life, Christmas made no sense to me, but I didn't really care as long as I got stuff. I mean, it was a good thing, right? You get gifts, and actually enjoyed giving. I enjoyed all the old Christmas traditions. Had a wonderful family, but had no idea what Christmas was about. I lived a rather pointless, plotless life other than what was right in front of me. You know, early on, it was being a commercial fisherman. I wanted to catch fish. I still like to fish. I was chasing trophies in high school and chasing elk in the woods. And then I started chasing a woman, and she led me to church, and here I am. It took me a long time to stop and behold the Lamb. Why, this time of the year, does God ask us to do that? I remember being in the dark. And by the way, most people's testimonies is one of coming out of drugs or alcohol. I wasn't. I was actually a good guy. You know why I know I was a good guy? Because I was like my dad. My dad's a good guy. I didn't do, yes, amen, right? Still a good guy. I mean, he didn't do drugs or alcohol. He was he raised me in the woods, highly recommend that. He was with me all the time. We did all these things together. I was a good guy. And so when I come to this and say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, one of the questions I would have had for you is, what do you mean sin? I mean, I was not only a good guy, but I was quite a bit better than anybody else I knew in my class, especially. But there's something about beholding the Lamb that when you begin to see God, and you begin to see Christ, and as John chapter 1 says, and I invite you to read that, as you begin to walk in the light, something happens. You not only begin to see God in his holiness, you begin to see yourself, you begin to see that indeed I am, oh, such a sinner. I mean, there was one line, strangely enough, in the scriptures that jumped out at me in those days. And I don't even know who said it to me. I don't even know where it came from. But just that one line, "You have forgotten me days without number." I mean, I would read or hear some message about whoremongers and adulterers and all this stuff. I didn't know what a whoremonger was, but I knew I wasn't one of them. But when that line, that word of God came and says, "You have forgotten me days without number." And slowly as I began to walk in the light, I began to behold God. I began to see the fact that God is unspeakably holy. And it resonated in my soul because all my being raised in the woods and the mountains and creation, there's something about creation that utters speech to the, about the glory of God. And any being that could create a creation like this is, well, there's a reason that our hearts bend in awe when we stop and breathe in creation. And so I intrinsically, being so connected to creation, had this sense of the wonder of awe. And when I started to really look and seek him, I found that he indeed was holy. More holy than I had ever imagined. And as I began to see his holiness, I began to see my sin. And I began to understand why it was such good news that night when the angels came. Let's go to that, Luke chapter 2. Christmas started to make sense to me. You've heard the Christmas story over and over. I'm so blessed by these children, by the way. The most beautiful ones are my grandchildren. If you guys are new here, all you have to remember is the most beautiful ones you saw up here were my grandchildren. And yes, it's true. Chapter 2, I just want to have this, just share this one. I want a couple images with you tonight. Or today, it won't be tonight, I promise. So it was while they were there, verse 6. The days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to submit to you that this moment was a moment of confusion for Joseph and Mary. As this story unfolds, and this is 30 years before John the Baptist proclaims, "Behold the Lamb," I want you to, in your mind, I want you to go to the scene where Mary and Joseph enter into this cave because there's no room in the inn. And the reason I say it's a cave is because the sheep pens in those days were just carved out hollow places in the limestone, and they would have just a row of, you know, just a few, this little bit of fencing across the front. So when I talk about a hollowed out cave, that's what I'm talking about. So I want you to think about that. This was Emmanuel, the long-promised fulfillment of all the prophecies of God, and an angel had come to Mary and had told her, "You are the blessed one. You have been chosen to bear this child." And so, you know, she receives this news in faith, and there's this beautiful Mary's Magnificat where she praises God because she's the chosen. And then she finds herself, just her and Joseph, so profoundly alone in a cave. Let me just read this to you. Mary, who had been visited by an angel, who had told her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. Blessed are you among women." And then 9 months later, there she was, lying alone, just her and Joseph in a borrowed cave. They were so profoundly alone. Is this how the King of Glory enters the world? "I am your blessed chosen one." Labor came upon her, and as she's going through this, the labor pains of giving birth and the first child, and not only has labor gripped her body, confusion grips her heart. Had she really heard from an angel? Is this how the Christ child would come? "Oh God, have I failed you? I'm lying in a sheep pen. It's dark. It's cold. It's not the birth for any child, let alone this long-awaited king." And then there's Joseph kneeling next to the manger. A single candle flickers, trying in vain to drive the darkness away. He stares at the candle. It's like his own faith Oh, how he believed God when the angel visited him and told him that his bride was carrying Emmanuel. This faith flickered in the night as well. He wondered. He struggled. He tried to keep the darkness at bay, the questions that kept coming. Joseph, whose hands were familiar with a saw and hammer and a chisel, those trembling hands took that Messiah, that bloody, tiny baby, into his own hands as she delivered it. She raised up and said, "Joseph, you have to wrap him." And so those trembling hands held that infant, began to clean him and wrap those little swaddling clothes around those tiny feet and those tiny fingers. Here's a man, hands trembling, heart taken, wondering, "Oh God, what has happened to us?" And the night, oh, the night was silent. The more he cried out to God, the more that night was just silent. It's not calm in Joseph's heart. His mind is swirling. It's cold. It's dark. And Joseph knelt next to the child and said, "Oh God, what am I doing?" And the night just remained silent. There was no visitation from God, no other voice saying, "It's okay. God, is this how the King of Glory enters the world?" He finished wrapping the baby and he looked around and there's no place to place him, and so he put him in the feed trough. And the night was just silent. One tiny baby, one flickering candle, two confused and scared people. And then they heard a noise, and it came from the hills above Jerusalem. It was distant, but it was a heavenly sound, and in the night sky there are flashes of glorious light like distant lightning and sound like a great chorus, and it sounded like the great choruses they had heard at Jerusalem in the Passover, only it was way more heavenly. And the sound rolled down from the hills, beautiful sound, and then as quickly as it began it was over, and once again the night was silent and dark. I share that image with you because that's how the Son of God came into the world. And the angels came to some shepherds. And they said, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find this babe wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feed trough.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" I wrote this pretty early this morning. He was not born in a palace to rule the world. He was not born in the temple to reign as the high priest. He was born in a sheep pen, because he was born the Lamb to take away the sins of the world. And the angels were celebrating because he was born to take away the sins of the world. You know, it's funny the things we embrace and don't think about. For years I loved Christmas and I would hear the things like peace on earth. I love the fact that when I got in college I started to be a little more cynical. It's actually not a bad thing if you're looking for the truth. Peace on earth? Have you read a newspaper lately? Have you been in the kitchen when a teenager rises up and tells his mother what they know is truth? Have you been there when marriages come crashing apart? Peace on earth? See, none of that makes sense to a cynic, but it makes sense when you begin to turn toward God and you see how holy he is. And you see your sin. And see, the angels had a bird's eye view. The reason they were celebrating is because they were in the presence of an unspeakably holy God, and all the time they were watching mankind, all of us, in all of our sin, and they knew that we were on a collision course. Oh God, How are you going to fix that? And then they watched the King of Glory, the Lord himself seated at the right hand of God, leave heaven and become a helpless little baby, born in a sheep pen on purpose because he came to be the lamb slaughtered for our sin. They saw it. And the scripture says that the mystery of the gospel was literally being played out right in front of them. They had no idea how God was going to redeem you or me until that night. And so they just came down from heaven and celebrated. The first Noel was a celebration because they saw how peace could happen in the hearts of men on a fallen world. And I'm here to be a simple witness to you today. This man stands before you at peace with God because Jesus Christ died for me and he rose again. And I've received him as the Lord of my life. He has come into this temple. He dwells in this heart. And I am at peace with God. In the old days, they had all those great sayings, right? Has that man made peace with God? We don't use those phrases anymore. We should go back to the old paths. Because I need to ask you today, are you at peace with God? Can you join with the heavenly choir and sing hallelujah? Hallelujah, as I look at the Lamb and I embrace what he's done for me and I celebrate his birth because of what Christ has done, I am now at peace with an unspeakably holy God. I can walk into his presence and know that I'm a child of the living God. I want you to think about the shepherds that night walking through the dark. They were looking for a little baby lying in a feed trough, and they found him. Jesus said, all who seek me will find me. And he invites us today. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. No matter what kind of darkness you're in, no matter what kind of struggles you're going through, here's the truth. When you turn your heart toward God, and you say, oh God, first of all, reveal yourself to me. Whatever preconceived notions I have about you, God, take them away. Just reveal yourself to me. Something will happen as you begin to walk in the light. He'll not only reveal himself to you, you will learn a lot about yourself. And you'll understand why. There is no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Christ had to come. He had to be the lamb slain. And when you look for him, you will find him, just as he said. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you, God, that we can celebrate because of the lamb slain for our sin. Thank you, God, that you have never turned anybody away that has turned and sought you. God, I pray today that Christmas would be more than a novelty, more than a season of family memories, more than all those other good things that can be there. Oh God, I pray that Christmas would be this Christmas for everybody in this room. We would all behold the Lamb. We would all say, oh God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the gift that was given that I might have life. God, I thank you personally. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you for taking this lost sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for me. And then thank you, God, for the kingdom of God that has come in me, that Christ is alive in me today, and I am alive in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that every day I get to open the gift of who you are. And God, today I just pray that if there's anybody else here who knows that they need to walk to that narrow gate of surrendering to you and giving their life to you, that war would be over and they would know the peace of God. I pray today would be the day that they surrender to you and find the peace that only comes through Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for our children. And thank you, God, that we get to lead them in the way of peace. Bless, Father. Bless all those that are here. Bless your word and strengthen us to do your work, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
So join us as we do the closing song this morning. Pastor was talking about peace. And I just want to read Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 to you. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it says, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And he called on us to rejoice. If you're here this morning, and I'm really convinced about this, that somebody's here that wants to make peace with God. Amen? If you want to do that, please, as we do this song, just walk forward, and Pastor will pray with you. This is the day the Lord has made, that you should rejoice and be glad. So let's join the angels, celebrate the birth of our King. Again, if you want to make peace with God, just come forward, and somebody will pray with you.